The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, August the 23rd, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled The Big House. And the time is 8:49 a.m. here in London, making it, 3:49 a.m. on the east coast of America and coming up to 10 to 1 in the morning on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. And the title of today's show relates to the History Channel documentary series on American prisons called The Big House, which was narrated by Paul Sorvino. Now, this documentary series, I've been doing quite a bit of research on it because I found a couple of episode listings, episode guide listings. What I tend to do is I'll go over somewhere like a Wikipedia is my favourite thing. So when I was looking at the Rockford Files to find all the David Chase written episodes that I mentioned last week, I typed in list of the Rockford Files episodes wiki, and there was a Wikipedia page for it. There's very little on The Big House, this documentary series, and the two things that I found, which was IMDb and another one which claims to have got it from the actual TV.com site, they show the episodes in different order, and the series is far from complete because I've got some episodes on that box set that aren't even listed here. Some people say there was 29 episodes total, ran between 98 and 2003. But basically, it is a series on American prisons. And you can get this box set on Amazon. I only mention this because it's ridiculously cheap for what it is. It's 8¾ hours. It's a History Channel produced documentary series, so it's obviously got high production values, but at the same time, I would trust the History Channel to give me a documentary series on prisons, but they also offer a documentary series on conspiracies, and I wouldn't really be too interested in that, if you understand what I'm saying. But you can buy this new on Amazon.co.uk for £6.99. It's a 3-disc box set. It's very well packaged, and I imagine that you will probably be able to get it on Amazon.com. I did look, but basically it won't show me any results that they're not prepared to ship to the UK, so I couldn't see it on there, but it might be on there. So if you're interested in that, I've had an interesting week. I watched it once. I've only seen this once, and I recorded each of the 12 episodes on my computer, and I've been listening to them without watching them. And other people have actually made comment where I have found people talking about this on different threads you find online, how Paul Sorvino, the narrator, who's best known for playing Big Paulie in Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas film, how his voice really makes the show, how he's such a good narrator, and how there are lots of other documentary series on the same subject that aren't as good because the narrator hasn't got that soft, calming voice of a Paul Sorvino, which is nice to listen to. It's easy on the ear. And I concur with that statement. There is another series that is basically the same thing, The Big House. It's a box set called Hard Time. Now, I've only found one of these on eBay secondhand, and the guy's claiming it looks like new. But there's a lot of jokers on eBay now. They'll claim something's like new, and even in the pictures, the box is torn and stuff like that. There's very clear guidelines for what new is, but there's so many liars out there today, they'll just do whatever. You know what I mean? It's crazy. But anyway, I don't want to digress too much. That contains 6 episodes, and I'm looking at the one copy for like £15 in a torn box. So if you are interested in this subject matter, I can strongly recommend The Big House that you can get for £6.99 on Amazon. I see that they've got used copies from £4.44. But once you add on delivery, I imagine you're going to be paying much the same amount of money. Okay, so that being said, the other things that I've been watching during the week, I'll go back to the Hard Time box set, which basically it's 6 separate DVDs of 6 separate episodes of The Big House. When I say 6, one of them is a documentary on escape from Alcatraz, not the film, but on the actual escape. And that's not a Big House episode. All the other 5 are all narrated by Paul Savino. And one of the, what you do find is that people have broken them up. And so because they all came in individual DVD boxes, there's one on the maze, there's one on Alcatraz. Others in there as well that I can't quite recall. Oh, actually, I can tell you because I've got it on my desktop right here. Folsom, Attica, LA County Jail and Colorado State. And all of those, apart from Escape Breakout from Alcatraz, is narrated by Paul Savino. And then going back to The Big House, Oklahoma State Penitentiary, Maine State Prison, Auburn, East Jersey State, Florida State at Rayford, McNeil Island, that's what I'm up to, having listened to, so I've listened to half of them. Very entertaining, a lot more entertaining than other things out there. Leavenworth, Angola, Parchman, Central Prison, Montana State Prison, and Lewisburg Federal. The best, probably, prison documentary I've ever heard is called The Farm, Angola, USA. That's The Farm, Angola, USA. I've got a copy of that, and I was actually listening to it last night before I went to bed, and I finished it this morning while I was doing what we usually do in the morning, getting a cup of coffee, checking the emails, all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, prison documentaries have largely been my listening for this week. And I think it was partly inspired by the HBO, first ever HBO drama series, which was called Oz. It preceded The Sopranos. It was extremely violent. I remember the first time I started watching it, I stopped. And then I looked at it again when the later season came out, and I can't watch it at all now, but I've got the box set. Funnily enough, there's a British box set that I ended up, I got hold of for some reason, of all the series, but it's got none of the extras on that the American box set has, certainly with regard to the audio commentaries. So the audio commentaries, I think there's about 8 of them on there now. For something like that, I can listen to that now, but I couldn't watch anything with the sort of levels of gratuitous violence. But listening to people talk about it, I'd find interesting. And it was all right, you know. The problem with people in that business, acting, television, film, that sort of stuff, is if you like a character that you see on screen, which is pretty unlikely with a show like Oz, but when you hear the person who plays them talking in real life, it more often than not puts you off the character. You kind of wish you didn't hear them, because they all have this similar lovey, woke attitude that many of us don't go along with. But that being said, it was interesting to hear, but the important thing I had to do in order to listen was the DVD player. As the DVD was set to Region 1, which is America, and mine's set to Region 2 here, which is UK, I had to change the region of the DVD player on the computer. And it's interesting because you do it and it says you've got a certain amount of times left to change it, that you can change it again. but I couldn't have played them if I hadn't changed it over. Now, I'm sure I could have found some sort of program online that would have bypassed that, but with the way Google and stuff like that, I can't find a local tradesperson on Google. You know, I should be able to go on there and say, right, this is where I live. I want to find somebody to, I don't know, whatever I need them to do to fix an electrician, say, for example, whatever. But all it lists is, if you start going through the results, you start to see a very similar way the websites are drawn up. And what I found is you've got a company and they can generate a website that shows that they're actually near you. And so you think you're getting someone local and you're not. And there was some problem I have, I forget what it was. And I spoke to someone, I'll send me some photos. So I sent them some photos, email went through, never heard from them again. So they didn't know if they could help or not. But rather than email me back, have the courtesy after I've taken the photos to say, look, this isn't something we can do. Maybe give me a tip on where to, somewhere else I could try. Or, you know, even if they didn't know, just to have the courtesy to say, look, thanks for sending them. Actually, this isn't the sort of stuff we deal with. Good luck. Oh, we can't help him. We can't make any money here. So they just don't even bother replying. This is the sort of courtesy you get in the world we live in today. But going back to changing the drive on your DVD from region 1, region 2 to region 1, it turns out you can actually, as I say, change it back and forth a few times. So what I ended up doing was I looked at all the region 1 DVDs I had that I would want to maybe look at, and there weren't many. The Big House and the Hard Times series that I told you, they are out of America, but they're not region coded, so you can play them on anything. But I dug up Hill Street Blues, my box set of that. I looked at my box set of Kojak. There was no extras on there. Box set of The Streets of San Francisco. Well, the Kojak one was actually out of the UK, but The Streets of San Francisco was out of America. I remember there was like one extra on it, which was like a 4-minute interview about the pilot episode. It's quite strange. But suffice to say, I didn't get a lot out of there. I did get, however, some audio commentaries of Hill Street Blues, and some extras there where they're nice little reunion, which again I refer you to what I mentioned some moments ago. So that's really what I've been listening to, stuff off DVDs. And I was looking at some of the independent news sites this morning, and I thought to myself, what have I missed by not listening to conspiracy shows in the last week? I mean, I still went to, you know, some of Jeff Rentz's shows and things like that I generally pick up, like his hour with Donald Jeffries on Monday, etc., etc., and other bits of his that I like. But nothing really has happened. There's been a lot of people talking about, speculating about, I imagine, in the last week that I've been seeing on sites like Before It's News throughout the week. There's a great one on beforeitsnews.com at the moment, folks. I woke up this morning, I thought Catherine Zeta-Jones was dead. Because there's a story down near the bottom, I'll try and bring it up now, and it's got something about Catherine Zeta-Jones, and it's got a picture of a car crash behind her. So as soon as I saw that, I went over to the BBC. I thought, oh, there's been a car crash, and here it is. It's down at the bottom. It's just got a picture of Catherine Zeta-Jones, a crashed car behind her, and tragedy. And then the headline is, at 55, the tragedy of Catherine Zeta-Jones is beyond heartbreaking. So that tells me that, oh dear, she's died in a car crash. Nothing about it on the mainstream media. So again, this is just the ultimate clickbait. Complete lie to get someone to go on there. And the top comment here from US Marine Fighting Tyranny, clickbait garbage. Exclamation mark. So this is the sort of nonsense that you're dealing with some of these sites out there, and this is what's driven me to looking at what I enjoy watching. Or, you know, some things you watch and you can't just listen to them, as I've said before. You do still need the visual, but certainly that's what I've been doing. I finished off the Rockford Files series that I mentioned last week. I was watching just the David Chase written episodes because that's what I bought it for, and I even saw what was the classic episode that had some so-called crossover into Sopranos territory. and it was the last episode of 1979. There is just one episode from 1980, which is the very last episode of the series. This is the second to last episode of the entire series. Apparently, due to doctor's orders, James Garner was told that he should stop the role. It was too physically demanding. And it's called Just a Couple of Guys, the last one written by David Chase. And it's actually got the guy who played the underboss to the Phil Leotardo character, played by Frank Vincent. I think the character was called Butch or something, but he was his underboss in the final season. I never liked him much in The Sopranos. He also appeared in the Boardwalk Empire series, and he was a lot better in that, I felt. Excuse me. But the episode was interesting to watch because there was one line in there about putting both hands in a sewer and coming out with a gold watch in each hand, which I thought, I'm sure I've heard something like that in The Sopranos. And of course, David Chase was involved with both, so you look for sort of crossovers. But after watching that episode, even people writing about it online, they said, you know, it's a pretty underwhelming episode, to be quite honest. And I think that we've got a wealth of material out there. We've got so much media that I've got all the series of CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, the original one set in Las Vegas. There's 15 series of that, and then they rebooted it, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, and they made another 3 series. Then you've got CSI Miami. There are 10 series of that. Got those. Bought that in a single box set new. I took a chance after buying the half of a series, because they put them out in halves. I found half of one in a charity shop, and I've always liked David Caruso. I think his work in NYPD Blue was astonishing, and I think it was a great shame he didn't stay. That show could have been the top show of the 90s, I think, if he'd have stayed around for the role. And he left to do films, and unfortunately there were not really any that jump out at me that were of the quality of what he was doing in that series. And then the other one is CSI New York, and there are 9 series of that. And my point is that I would say any episode of CSI is going to be better than any episode of The Rockford Files. That's just my feeling, because it's shorter. The Rockford Files is 50 minutes. CSI can sometimes come in at under 40. The Rockford Files, they might just be looking for somebody. And there's all this damsel in distress stuff that I mentioned before that gets very tedious. Whereas in CSI, you've generally got 2 cases in each episode. And so you've got 2 storylines, and they both conclude at the end of each episode. So they pack so much into it, and it's quite interesting. And it's a whodunit thing as well, which I've always enjoyed. I think the other thing with The Rockford Files, I was thinking earlier, is I've never really been interested in private investigator stuff. So, for example, Magnum PI, I think someone said Walker Texas Ranger to me. These sort of things have never, the concept just doesn't interest me. I've always gone more for a sort of police type thing, something like that. Poirot, I like, but that's sort of different because you're looking at England back in the 1930s and what have you, and the way it's filmed, even though it's not just that, because when they thought it was just that and tried to turn what was originally 1-hour episodes into 2-hour episodes, they got long and boring and tedious, and consequently I've got the box set of all of them, and I watched a couple of the 2 hours. I'm not going to watch any more. If I intend on going back to it, I'm going to start again with the 1-hour episodes and hope I've forgotten what happened, as I did last time that I went to it. The other thing that was interesting is audiobooks. I found a audiobook of James Herbert's book Sepulchre in a charity shop. It was from 1987. I'd actually been in that same charity shop a few weeks earlier, and there was his audiobook of The Magic Cottage, but I thought about buying it just to listen. It was a 3-CD set, very nicely done, but it's one of his worst books, and I would just have listened to it to sort of see how it worked. And it's abridged as well, so they've taken certain bits out to make it shorter. But the one that I heard was narrated by Jonathan Firth, who is Colin Firth's brother. Obviously not as big an actor as Colin Firth. He's a Best Actor Oscar Award winner for The King's Speech, I believe, which is a film I've never seen because it doesn't interest me. However, I best remember him from the first episode of Midsummer Murders. And he was very good in that actually, and he does a good narration on this book. So for £1, it was worth hearing, and I'll be holding on to it. But apart from a few other documentaries that I listened to, which were a couple of lock-up documentaries, which obviously are about prisons again, you can see the difference in quality between them and the Paul Sorvino narrated documentaries. Okay, so that's a little diversion this morning into what I have been up to and what I listened to. And I only say this because I feel that you could get a lot more out of what you used to watch if you tried just listening to it and seeing if it worked as well on audio only as it does on television. Okay, so let's see what I've found of interest in the news since last week's show. And for that, I've got my little list here. Now, Lucy Connolly, you may have heard, I imagine most of you will have heard, has been freed from prison. She's the one who sent out a racist tweet, etc. And the leader of the opposition, Kemi Badenoch, has released a statement. And her statement is, when I can find it, I'm just checking that it's... on X, she wrote, "Lucy Connolly finally returns home to her family today. At last, her punishment was harsher than the sentences handed down for bricks thrown at police or actual rioting. At that time, after Southport, Keir Starmer branded all protesters far right and called for fast-track prosecutions. Days later, Lucy was charged with stirring up racial hatred, an offence that doesn't even require intent to incite violence. What exactly did the Attorney General think that was... No, why exactly did the Attorney General think that was in the public interest? Meanwhile, former Labour councillor Ricky Jones called for protesters to have their throats slit. Charged with encouraging violent disorder, he pleaded not guilty and was acquitted by a jury who saw his words as a disgusting remark made in the heat of the moment, not a call to action. Juries are a cornerstone of justice, but we shouldn't have to rely on them to protect basic freedoms. Protecting people from words should not be given greater weight in law than in public safety. If the law does this, then the law itself is broken, and it's time Parliament looked again at the Public Order Act." Well, I'd be interested to hear her views on the Palestine Action protesters that are being arrested for waving a sign saying that they oppose genocide. And I'd also be interested in her thoughts on the Public Order Act, which was brought in under a Conservative government in 1984, as I recall, under Thatcher. So there you go. When you're the opposition, you're there to oppose the people in power. And when you get power, you're there to do the bidding of the people that control the people in power. That's how politics works. Now, in the UK, we talk about the Online Safety Act, it's called. It's anyway, we won't go into that. But you've had all these different companies. I'm not going to mention them, but certainly people in the UK will be aware of certain platforms that suddenly you can't get in the UK because of the Public Order Act. However, one of them called 4chan, that I've heard of, but I don't believe I've ever even... I wouldn't even know what the website was, whether it's a .com, .whatever, I don't know. I've never been on it. But they've basically said that, because they've been contacted by Ofcom, which is the broadcasting regulator in the UK, they've been told that they've got to change whatever they've got to change to comply with UK law. And they've been fined £20,000 by Ofcom. But what this guy called Preston Byrne, who's part of the law firm Byrne and Storm, who presumably are representing 4chan in this matter, he said, "Ofcom's notices create no legal obligations in the United States, and he believed that their regulation, and I quote, was part of an illegal campaign of harassment against US tech firms. He said, 4chan has broken no laws in the United States. My client will not pay any penalty." And essentially, this is what I thought that people would be doing. I mean, further on, the law firms Burn and Storm and Coleman Law said that American... This is a statement posted on X, according to the BBC. American businesses do not surrender their First Amendment rights because a foreign bureaucrat sends them an email. Under settled principles of US law, American courts will not enforce foreign penal fines or censorship codes. If necessary, we will seek appropriate relief in the US federal court to confirm these principles. So, again, this is what I thought all the people would have done. And it's funny that the ones that buckled under this UK law that were based in the UK, the ones I'm aware of are ones that I had problems with before. Let's just say that. Obviously, I can't get into who, because I feel if they're going along with this, and I had was suspicious of them before, then if I say anything bad about them, they'll do what they can to come after me. And you have to be careful here in the UK, because I'm in a territory where the law does apply, if that makes sense. And I was just very surprised at the amount of people overseas that are under their own country's law complying with the laws of another country. But the interesting thing is, I mentioned before on this show that there's been this massive reduction in people watching porn in the UK, which is actually a good thing. Apparently, Pornhub has lost more than 1 million visitors in just a couple of weeks because they now are requiring their users in the UK to show ID to prove that they're over 18. Now, as a result of this, what I've found is people apparently are going to VPNs. And get this, BBC headline, "Stop children using VPNs to watch porn, ministers told." So what they're saying, their suggestion is that in order, well, Dame Rachel D'Souza from this BBC article told BBC Newsnight it was absolutely a loophole that needs closing and called for age verification on VPNs. So further down the line, it says it needs closing, and that's one of my major recommendations. That in order to do that, then you're going to need to show your ID, aren't you? Because what they're worried about is children using VPNs to access online porn, but you're still allowed to access it if you're over 18. So, in other words, you will have to prove you're over 18 to a VPN provider, and therefore you have to show ID. So that completely goes against the purpose of a VPN, which is disguising who you are. I've never used one because they know who I am. And, you know, they're watching me whatever. So that's not something that's ever really been an option for me. But I couldn't help thinking of David Goldberg's final words when he talked about Project Pogo, which is keeping your eye on what people are doing online, and Project Zypher, which is rounding them up. And he predicted this for quite a few years ago. It never came to pass, but it was what entered my head when I saw this, because could this have been what the Online Safety Act or Bill or whatever name they call it was all about? We need more ways of being able to monitor what people are looking at, what people are doing. I thought they had enough. But it's one of those things that for someone that they really don't like, they can go over and turn your electric off. But they're going to have to go out to your property and do something physically to turn it off. If you've got a smart meter, they can turn it off just for you without doing anything apart from a couple of clicks on a keyboard. Now, if there's a lot more people that the powers that should not be are concerned about, then they've not got enough people to go out on an individual case-by-case basis. So it'd be far easier to roll something out where they can be monitored from central location, even maybe not by people themselves, maybe by AI we keep hearing about. But again, that's my concerns when I see stories such as this. There's been a lawsuit, I believe it's against United Airlines. They've been selling windowless window seats. And the way it works is, on when you're on the end of a row, not the aisle end, obviously the other end of a row on a plane, then you've generally got a window next to you. That was always the case. Well, apparently that's not necessarily the case these days. So not every row is going to be parallel to a window. But if you've got that seat that is supposed to have a window next to it, they're still charging you for the window. This has apparently been going on for quite a while, and someone has taken this airline to task on it, and there's some case going through. So I found that quite interesting, because I've always been one that I like the window. Obviously, the disadvantage of the window is that whenever you need to get up to go to the restroom or whatever they call it, I think you can call it a toilet on a plane, because there's not a great deal else in there apart from that, and the sink is there, you can hardly move. You've got the embarrassment of having to ask other people to get up and get out your way when you keep going back and forth. You know, hopefully you don't have to, but some of these flights are quite long, aren't they? Whereas if you're on the aisle end, you can keep coming and going as you please, but then you don't get to see out the window. You don't really see much, do you, apart from landing and takeoff? But I do enjoy, I would always be looking out for landing and takeoff, and I'd be watching all the time going out until I couldn't see anything anymore. You know, by the time you've gone through the clouds and what have you, and you can only see white. Or when they say we're coming down, just staring out until I start to see the land again. Found that quite interesting. I've not been on the plane, though, for, it's got to be over 10 years. Yeah, that'd be about right. Okay, the world's largest cruise ship has just been launched. It is by the company Royal Caribbean. And I remember when my parents used to go on these cruises, I'd ask my parents about these ships, because they had these magnificent ships that had all sorts of stuff on there. I mean, bumper cars, for, you know, things like that. You're like, what? But yeah, their answer was look, the problem with these big ships is it takes you forever to get anywhere on them. And so they used to go on one that had about 1,200 passengers. And what you generally get is you will get just under half the amount of passengers you'll have are going to be staff. So on, say, a 1,200 passenger ship, you might have 500 staff. So this biggest cruise ship ever is called the Star of the Seas. It's got 20 decks, and it accommodates 5,610 guests. So I would say you've probably got another 2,000 or so staff on that ship. And it's over, well, it's over 1,000 foot long. So there you go. But that's been launched, and you can look up the various pictures online. It does look very nice. But you do hear stories about how long it takes to get from place to place on the ship and the amount of people on it. And the other thing is, when I went on cruises, I mean, the last one I went on was 8 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that, just over. And I was always the youngest on there by at least 10 years, certainly on the one I went on. I was quite happy with that. But I've been hearing about cruises where you've got all these young people fighting and all this sort of stuff. You can just look up fight on cruise and you'll be inundated with stories. So certainly the people that use them, the demographic is changing. The age demographic. It seems that younger people are choosing to go on there. There's a train line in Ireland. And this is one of those things where, when I first saw this, I thought, yeah, this is good. Because the Daily Mail had the headline, Major Train Line Introduces Controversial £86 Fine to Passengers Listening to Music Out Loud. And I mean, I've seen this happen. And the other thing that people do is they'll talk to people on a speakerphone on a bus or on a train. I mean, I'd be embarrassed. If I take a call on my phone suddenly goes off on a bus or a train, something like that, I'll deal with it quickly. I've got a friend and he will not answer a phone on a bus or a train. He's too embarrassed. But I deal with it quickly because I don't want to aggravate other people. But the sheer gall of somebody playing music out loud so everyone else has to hear it, or talking to someone on a speakerphone, I'd be too embarrassed to do it. So when I saw that, I thought, yeah, at least some action's being taken at last. But then, scrolling down to the other things that they say that they're going to fine you for, that's vaping. Well, I don't vape and I wouldn't smoke on a train either. Putting feet on seats. What I just said. But the other thing is, I don't put feet on seats either. But putting bags on empty seats, well, I do that all the time, don't you? If you're on a train on your own, don't you put your bag on the seat next to you to try and dissuade anyone else from sitting next to you? When I get the train with my girlfriend, we generally try and find a set of seats with a table. And you've got two, and we like to be facing direction of travel. And then you've got the table, and you've got the other two opposite. So we dump our bags in the two opposite. Now, don't get me wrong, when it starts to get busy, if we see, I'll say to her, look, Amanda, there's a lot of people getting on, we've got to move these bags, because it is embarrassing for someone to say, can you move your bag, please? If you can see, you know, there's not enough seats here, so you're going to have to move your stuff, you move your stuff. But if it looks like there is enough seats, then generally people would rather go and find some free seats and ask you to move your bag. So I never realised that that was something that was frowned upon. Unless, of course, there's not enough seats for the passengers, where I would always get the bags out of the way first and not wait to be asked, which I do see a lot of people doing. And I've had to look, can you move that, please? You know, it's full. Okay. Wouldn't it be nice if people just had more consideration for others and these fines weren't needed? Paul Weller. Remember the guy from the Jam? I'm not talking about Robertson's Jam. I'm talking about the band The Jam. And he's suing his accountancy firm after they've saying they're going to stop working with him because he says that Israel's committing genocide in Gaza. Now, he's filed the suit against Harris and Trotter. And they've been working with him for 30 years in basically, this takes me back to, I thought, you know, it's that case, isn't it, with the baking a cake. Do I equate it to that? It's just, it's amazing to me. It's this slippery slope that you're on, that people can start denying service to someone's political beliefs, and how you can see how that was introduced, because this is going to be something that I believe is going to happen more and more down the line. If they can't get you, if you say something they don't like and they can't throw the law at you yet, because they haven't got the laws in place yet, then they're going to want to get you in other ways. And if they can refuse to serve you, then apparently, in some cases, they can. But if a homosexual couple wants you to bake them a cake, you can't refuse to serve them, okay? But you can refuse to serve people for other reasons, which some might argue are discriminatory as well. If someone's got a point of view that you don't agree with, that shouldn't affect you from doing their accountancy for them, should it? It sounds like discrimination to me. If you can say, oh, you've got an opinion I don't agree with, so I'm not going to do your accountancy for you anymore. But I don't imagine that we're going to see the government stepping in here anytime soon. But I might be wrong. The Daily Mail have been harping on about how Labour are now as unpopular as the Tories were before they had that massive election loss last year. Well, again, I refer you to what I said earlier. If the Tories had got in, they'd be doing much the same stuff. That's why I find it so nauseating when I hear them talking, complaining about these boatloads of people being put up in hotels. They were the ones that started doing it. Okay? So again, the opposition is called the opposition because just as the same way the government, their job is to do what the people in control tell them to do. The opposition's job is to criticise them for that. And then the roles are reversed if the opposition get voted in next time. That's basically why they're called the opposition, folks. They're not there to do what they promise that they're going to do when they're in the opposition, which is why you see very little of that actually being done whenever they come to power. I found this quite funny. We've heard all these things. I think even Donald Trump was talking about, he was slagging off these so-called green energies like wind turbines, that sort of thing. Well, there's a town in New South Wales, which I believe is in Australia, that has got, it's surrounded by these wind turbines. But when they've had a blackout, they've had to bring in diesel generators. Even though they've got all these wind turbines around, you think they'd get that. But the funny thing is that jumped out at me is the town is called Crookwell. And I believe all these green energy initiatives are crooked. So I found the name Crookwell to be quite amusing. Peter Hammond introduced us to the concept of these environmentalists being watermelons, green on the outside and red on the inside. So they basically try and get you on board with a save the planet agenda. I mean, who wouldn't want to save the planet? That's the green part. But that's just the sugarcoating for what they really want to do if they get power. And that is the communist red underneath. And you just look at what some of these Green Party-run councils do or don't do. It's funny, I think that there's one over in this country that was very anti certain things going on in the world, shall we say. And then they got control of the council and they're not being as vocal as they were before they did. How strange. Okay, so let's move on to privatisation. That's what happened when I was growing up in the 1980s. Margaret Thatcher was selling everything bar the kitchen sink that were government-owned assets, and consequently over time, the post office, which was sold off most recently, and that was when Labour were in charge. I believe it wasn't when Labour were in charge or the Tories got in, I'm not sure. But that's become a disaster, our postal system now. And most things do when they get privatised, because what happens is the private people come in to own it and they bleed it dry until they're not prepared to put any more investment in. And so the government have to take it over. And what I think will happen is the government will pump all the money in to make it all right again. And then, oh, let's privatise it again so these private people can milk it again. It's an ongoing cycle that goes on and on and on. Well, British Steel was a big company when I was growing up. And they're the third largest steel producer in the UK, has been put under government control because of these sort of things going on. Not enough investment, stuff like that. The government have had to take it over. It's got to be pretty bad for them to take it over, folks, because they're not looking to take the postal system over. And it just, I the other week, I mean, I had like 10 letters. And I was like, I haven't had letters for ages, and that's why. They've just been building up and up and up until they finally bothered to deliver them. When I was growing up, you used to get 2 deliveries a day. But that's progress, folks. It's obviously progress if you can sell something off to some private company. It's apparently works, doesn't it? These private-public partnerships. I wonder who makes the money, the public or the private. Still got the shoplifting epidemic here in the UK, and police have even, elements within the police are saying there's no point arresting them because the courts don't do anything to them. Well, biblical law, folks. You can look up theft in biblical law, and it's, you steal something and it varies on what it is and how it's done, but generally the rule of thumb is you return what you stole plus at least another same amount on top. So if you stole £1,000, you've got to give that £1,000 back, and you've got to find another £1,000 to give the victim, not do a prison term and work for a corporation in a prison call centre on a few cents an hour and they benefit from you. No, the person who's your victim gets the restitution, as they should do. It's all there in the Bible for you, the biblical law on theft. But we've chosen man's law. And this is what happens when you choose man's law over God's law. It don't work. There's an inmate at Ghislaine Maxwell's prison. And this is the prison that she was sent to after a little meeting with Donald Trump that we're going to find out. Quite interesting developments there. Not with Donald Trump, sorry, no. People from the Trump administration saw her in prison, didn't they, recently? And she was moved to a cushy prison straight after. Well, some people, it didn't benefit, because there is a lady called Julie Howell who referred to this move of Ghislaine Maxwell to a cushy prison where she was living, same one that she's living in, as disgusting. And this was in an interview with a newspaper. And as a result, the warden of said prison has told her, "You've ruined my weekend," because her phone had blown up after she made this comment to a newspaper. Somehow her comment got out of the prison into a newspaper. And she kicked her out of this cushy prison. And she went back to a prison that's not so cushy. And they kicked her out so quickly that she did not have time to collect her medication or her glasses. So the transfer of Ghislaine Maxwell has not been so good for some people who choose to criticise that. And finally, quite an interesting one here. We've had all this talk, and this again has centred around the Daily Mail that I've seen it. I only look at the Daily Mail and the BBC, really. And I've not seen it on the BBC, but I believe around the Birmingham area, there's been a lot of stories about councils in that area asking that St George flags, which is the official flag of England, not the Union Jack flag of the United Kingdom, this is the flag of England, are asking people to take them down, whilst certainly I've been reading headlines in the Daily Mail that say flags about Palestine, they're not asking to take down, so they're talking about bias and two-tier and all that sort of stuff. Well, another problem that we're having on a worldwide basis is potholes that I'm sure many of you have experienced around the world. And when something's happening around the world, it tells me that it's being centrally planned somewhere. Otherwise, why would it be going on? Well, what some guy's been doing over in Wiltshire, a town called Malmesbury, is he's been painting St George flags over potholes in the hope that because councils have been known to get people to take St George flags down, they might actually repair the pothole to get rid of the St George flag, which I thought was rather amusing. And that is something that you can find in the Daily Mail. The headline is "Vigilante Paints Potholes with St George's Cross in Bid to Force Council to Fix Them." So that's what I have assembled for you in the last week. And now let's go over to see what's going on in the mainstream media right now. So first I'm going to start off with, let's have a look at AP, Associated Press, apnews.com. Top story, Texas lawmakers given final approval to redrawn congressional map favouring GOP centre governor, whatever that means. Let's go over to Reuters, see what's going on over there. Reuters.com. In latest purge, Hegseth removes head of Pentagon Intelligence Agency and other senior officials. So there you go. I've been reading in the, I suppose not so long ago, in the these independent media sites about Kash Patel being got rid of, but I don't believe he has been. So again, I reiterate what I said earlier in the show. I've had a great week with the stuff I've listened to, because I haven't had to listen to all this speculative garbage that so many people have in their business model. And that's what it is, folks. You don't make money out of truth, believe me. Telling the truth doesn't make you money in this game. But if you give people a load of clickbait and a load of disinformation, then you're not going to have the hassle from the powers that should not be, because you're not telling the truth, and people are going to be more keen to listen to somebody telling them the whole world's going to fall in and give them a bit of money, which is what their whole business model is, than they are to somebody telling the truth. And these people are also going to get a lot more exposure as well. Suddenly someone coming out of nowhere with a big audience and a green screen, it doesn't work, folks. Not for me. Absolutely not. Very suspicious of stuff like that going on. BBC News, let's go over there. I have actually looked at this earlier in the day, and the second top headline was how Israel's policies created famine in Gaza. And I mention that now because it wasn't in the top 10 most read articles. It might be now. So we're going down to those. Number 10, Lyle Menendez joins brother in being denied parole in parents' LA murder. Number 9, Trump's plan for DC homelessness is giving San Francisco deja vu. Number 8, Chapel Rowan slays Reading Festival with fairy tale themed set. Number 7, woman jailed for race hate post says she was political prisoner. I believe that's referring to Lucy Connolly again. Number 6, fans loved her new album. The thing was, she hadn't released one. Now, this is in grey because I looked at it earlier. And this relates to a woman I've not heard of called Emily Portman, who is an English folk musician. And she got a message from a fan praising her new album and saying English folk music is in good hands. But it turned out that she hadn't released a new album. But what had happened is someone had used AI and her voice to come up with a new album for her. And they put it up on the internet, and it sounded quite like her. She said that, and I quote, it was in a folk style probably closest to mine that AI could produce. And the instruments were also similar, so I found that quite interesting with this AI stuff that goes on. I still believe that AI can only do what it's been programmed to do. And this, of course, as other people have suggested, there could be some sort of demonic influence getting into the AI. I've certainly seen things like that go on that I've mentioned before. And maybe this is a vehicle for them. Number 5, 2 laptops, 6 plugs, the South Korean cafes grappling with students who don't leave. I think it was a South Korean guy that died some years ago. If he was playing a game for something like 36 hours non-stop, might have been even longer than that, just dropped dead. Number 4, stop starving Gaza's kids and Starmer's political prisoner. That's their What the Papers Say article for today. Number 3, Farage vows mass deportations to tackle small boats. Number 2, Ghislaine Maxwell says Epstein client list does not exist. Now, this takes me back to the representatives from the American government visiting her in prison and her suddenly being moved to a cushy prison a few weeks ago. Was it a few weeks? It wasn't long ago, was it? Well, if she'd have said that the day after, that the Epstein client list does not exist, then maybe people would have said, oh, maybe that was why she was moved to that cushy prison. But if they put a little distance of time between it, going back to the post office, before they privatised the post office in the UK, what they did was they put all the prices up before they privatised it. Only a few months before, but before. Because what people were finding was when companies were privatised, their prices were going up. And they said, well, this is no good. You know, we want to pay less when it was in public ownership. And so they decided to put the prices up before they privatised it, and then they'd get away with it. These sort of people behind the scenes that run things, they're just shameless. And it amazes me, because most of these are people that are taking orders and they do this, that they could actually have a happy life, because if I my job was simply to deceive, I'd be a very depressed man. And number one, parking firm pays £10,240 after losing case again. These are independent parking firms. Well, parking firms in general in this country are a menace. And the way that they do it, again, is very deceptive. So in supermarkets in this country, you generally get to stay an hour and a half, 2 hours. And if you go over, you know, in the past, you might have an attendant that might visit every so often. But now there's cameras in, cameras out. And then if you go to appeal it for whatever reason, the supermarket says, nothing to do with us. No. You see, we've got an independent company look after our car park. Because, of course, if an irate customer, I spend this here, this happened, and then they'd be like, all right. Public relations, okay, we'll waive the fine. But instead, it's a bit like these companies that cut you off, payment services, and then you want to speak to them. Oh, no, it's not one to speak to. We're not going to, it's, you've breached our standards. What's the standard? Well, we can't tell you that. Well, can I speak to someone? No, you can't speak to someone. That's the future, folks. And it's, again, this whole idea of, oh, well, it's not us. You can't come and complain to us. You've got to complain to that company. And you try and complain to one of these car parking companies, and these sort of stories that you see, they will go to any length to get the money that they, if you stay a minute over and they've got you on camera, the sort of appeals I've seen denied that I've read about in the mainstream media, these people are so greedy that they will go after anybody, and they're the most unsympathetic people that there is. Okay, let's move on to the Daily Mail. See what's going on over there. So, the top story is Emily in Paris assistant director drops dead during filming for fifth season of hit Netflix show in Venice. Well, that's the first I've ever heard of a show called Emily in Paris. And as you know, I don't watch stuff generally that's come out after 2013. And let's go over now to the independent news, because this has proved to be a rather lengthy show. I've not been on since last Saturday, apart from, of course, Sunday's traditional Christian message, which is now focusing on the miracles. I'll be recording tomorrow's after I have finished this show. Let's just go to rents.com. I'm sick of this RT.com. They've got a video at the top that I've not seen of two little babies that one looks like Putin and one looks like Trump in little suits, which some of you might find amusing. Trump and President Putin hold new conference after a ridiculous summit in Alaska. That is the video at the top of rents.com. And then Jeffrey Sachs has the top story talking about genocide there. And let's go over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Top story is updated. National Guard troops have started to mobilise in 19 states. There's a covert intel story below that, which isn't worth clicking on. I can give you the headline, but that's all you're going to get. Something highly unusual and very serious has just happened with the US/Ukraine situation. Below that, which was from yesterday, FBI raids John Bolton's home. Old Yosemite Sam there. Nice to see him finally getting some sort of comeuppance, if indeed he is, and the whole thing isn't just they're having us on type of stuff. This is what Hal Turner says, that apparently he's got an update here that it's to do with National Guard troops in support of immigration and customs enforcement ICE raids. So that's the latest, but before, he's saying there's no hurricanes or massive storms, no flooding, wildfires or earthquakes. Why do this on a Friday night? So there you go. That might be something that you want to watch. See if it pops up anywhere else. Now, earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. At the top, you have a video which says, "The Truth You've Never Been Told, Whiskey Rebellion Cover-Up." Now, I have to admit, I've heard of the Whiskey Rebellion, but I have no idea what it is. But fortunately, there is a something further down from a blog, it says, almost everything we've been taught about the Whiskey Rebellion is based on a cover-up, one designed to push the myth that federal power is unbeatable and resistance is futile. But the real history tells a very different story. This was a powerful movement of tax resistance that ultimately nullified the hated excise tax into oblivion. In this episode, learn the forgotten examples of resistance from Kentucky, North Carolina, Virginia, and more. So, sounds like some sort of rebellion against a tax that was being enforced. And I believe that what caused the Americans to rise up against the British in the Civil War was a tax on tea, as I recall. So, you know, nice to see taxes backfiring. It's just a shame that a lot of people have to suffer when they rise up against this. And finally, let's close off with the Before It's News Top 10. So let's load that up, scroll down to, well, number 10. Went up 4 hours ago, 55 people viewing, 10 people, sorry, number 10. Went up 4 hours ago, 55 people viewing, get my head right. Byington bombshell report, Ukraine is deep state hub of child trafficking, organ harvesting, money laundering, biolabs, General Flynn. Well, yes. Number 9, went up 16 hours ago, 60 people viewing. Michelle Obama explodes after Megyn Kelly exposes her big secret on live TV 2025. And I can see a picture of both of them next to each other with a headline, You're a Man. Well, I'd be very surprised if Megyn Kelly actually said that to Obama on the television, which is what this article is trying to make us believe. But I've not clicked on it, so maybe I'm wrong. That did happen, and the Daily Mail and the mainstream media that we've just been through chose not to report it. Number 8, well, up 15 hours ago, 65 people viewing. Michael Jayco, Dangerous Intel, 8/22/25. Dropping never-before-heard US military movement intel. Number 7 went up 4 hours ago, 72 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, evidence that Biden, FBI, US attorney, conspired to overthrow US. Number 6 went up 5 hours ago, 84 people viewing. On the Fringe, 8/23/25, Bolton Blues and huge Trump announcement. Number 5 went up 15 hours ago, 110 people viewing. And we know, 8/22/2025, who controls the NG, No War, No Civil Unrest, Clean and Swift CDC. Don't know what the NG is, I'm afraid. If it's something obvious, I should see. I don't at the moment. Number 4 went up 6 hours ago, 111 people viewing. Situation update, 8/23/2025. Trump was 10 steps ahead. Global military alliance announced. Number 3 went up 5 hours ago, 116 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez, get ready, 8/23/25. Countdown to Trump's military arrests and tribunals. Number 2 went up 9 hours ago, 123 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, urgent emergency, 8/22/25. They were all executed at Gitmo. This is the headline he generally puts out that pops up at my time on a Saturday morning, and it's at number 2 this week. There you go. And number 1 went up 4 hours ago, 216 people viewing, news treason, Trump and Q secret military op, 8/23/25, EBS and martial law imminent, Trump deployed National Guard video. Okay, so that's it for the show. I am going to put a little note in the show post. I don't generally make notes for this show. It's very brief. But just to let people know that I was talking about just non-news stuff for the first 20 minutes of the show, because I don't like to waste people's time. If they're only interested in the news, then I only want them to listen to that section. And that, of course, includes you. So that being said, I want to thank all of you for joining me on episode 250, as I'm talking to you. The Big House forecast is Saturday, August the 23rd, 2025. Traditional Christian message coming tomorrow. I'll be back with Peter on Tuesday. And until then, folks, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.